I'll be reading verses 9 through 14. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His Word is read. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. Moving on from there, He entered their synagogue. There He saw a man who had a shriveled hand, and in order to accuse him, they asked Him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He replied to them, "Who among you, if he had a sheep that fell into a pit on the Sabbath, wouldn't take hold of it and lift it out? A person is worth far more than a sheep. So it is lawful to do what is good on the Sabbath." Then He told the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was restored as good as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted against Him how they might kill Him. You may be seated. Sunday, we were looking at the verses prior to this in chapter 12, and we looked at a situation where Jesus and His disciples were hungry, and they're walking through a grain field on the Sabbath day. Now, walking through somebody else's grain field, it is okay for you to pick some of the grain from the field. That is one of the ways that the poor were taken care of in Israel. Also, when someone harvests a field, they weren't supposed to harvest the very edges. They were leaving that for the poor in the country to come and gather the food. But Jesus and His disciples, they were hungry. So they pulled some grain, rubbed it together, blew away the chaff, and ate it. Well, following them, apparently, was a group of Pharisees who were just looking to try to find something that Jesus was doing wrong. Jesus was drawing large crowds. They weren't. They were putting all kind of regulations and rules on people of how they could be better at following God's law than what God's law said. Imagine God's law said, "Don't go out that door." And then the Pharisee would say, "Don't go within 5 feet of that door." And then don't even look at the door, because they were trying to protect you from not going out of that door. So they made more rules, even though the rule is don't go out that door. But they made rules, don't even look at the door. And if you looked at the door, you were sinning because you were breaking their rules. Well, Jesus had been condemning the Pharisees and the religious leaders because their religion was a religion just for show, to be seen in front of other people. So they were trying to find some way to get Jesus in trouble. Well, as they walked through the field, Jesus and His disciples got something to eat from the grain, and they said, "Look, your disciples are sinning." And then Jesus pointed them to King David. King David was, if you will, their great hero. They went, "Look at King David. He did all the things right." Well, King David didn't do all the things right. He had an affair with somebody else's wife and then had that man killed. But David, when he was fleeing from Saul, who was the king at the time, David was already anointed as his successor, as Saul, King Saul's successor. Different Saul than Saul in the New Testament, Saul in the Old Testament. But David went, and those with him ate the bread in the temple that they were not supposed to eat. Only the priests were supposed to eat the bread. And then Jesus tells the Pharisees also, "Don't the priests work on the Sabbath day? And they are not guilty of sin." Because they are, that very bread that David ate had to be baked every Sabbath day and placed out. So they were working, making the bread, and then they were offering sacrifices. So Jesus is telling them that telling the Pharisees who are criticizing the disciples for eating that what they're doing is okay. And then he says, and the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus just said, I'm in charge of the Sabbath day. And that really ticked them off. Now we come to today's passage. And it says, moving on from there, he entered their synagogue. So Jesus is going into the church that they came from. The synagogue is the meeting place in the local community where those Jewish people were going to worship. We still have synagogues today. The synagogue started during the period in exile when the temple had been destroyed and Israel had been carried into exile in Babylon, and they met together in small groups in the synagogue. They created that there and then brought it back, and they had both the temple and the synagogue after they came back from captivity. Jesus entered into their synagogue. He has confronted the Pharisees, and now he's going into their synagogue, and they have set up a beautiful trap for him. They got a guy in the church that has his right hand is shriveled. And you say, how do you know right hand? The parallel in Luke chapter 6, verses 6 to 11, is a parallel passage here, and also Mark chapter 3, 1 through 6. So we get a little bit more information. Luke is a doctor, and Dr. Luke is into the details. So he said, it was his right hand, not just a hand. Matthew is just talking about it's a hand, it's shriveled. Luke says, you got to be right in your diagnosis. It's the right hand. And the Pharisees have set up a situation. Here's a man. He's not going to die because his hand's shriveled. Now, if he was on deathbed, then they might say, okay, it's okay for Jesus to heal him. But he could wait till tomorrow to heal him because he's not going to die if you wait a day. And it tells us that Jesus knew their thoughts. In Luke chapter 6, let's go there for a moment. Luke chapter 6 and verse 8 said, but he knew their thoughts and told the man with a shriveled hand, get up and stand here. So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or destroy it? So the man standing in front of them, a member of their synagogue, one of their friends whose hand is shriveled. Is it okay to do good on the Sabbath day? And Jesus knew they presented this situation because they wanted to trap him. And look at what it says in verse 10. After looking around at all of them, he told them, stretch out your hand. He did, and his hand was restored. They, however, were filled with rage and started discussing with one another what they might do to Jesus. In the Gospel of Mark, it tells us that nobody said a word, and Jesus was angry and full of sorrow because they would not answer his question. Is it lawful? Is it okay to do good? Back to our passage in Matthew. Jesus said to them, if you have a sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, are you going to let it stay there until the Sabbath's over? Or are you going to do something? Jesus, knowing their thoughts, knew they would do something. Well, it's my sheep. I don't want to lose that financial investment I have in the sheep, or don't want to ruin my lamb chops for later. Because, you know, if it dies, that's not going to work well. Well, Jesus looked at the man with his shriveled hand, looked at the Pharisees and said, a man is worth much more than a sheep. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Now, he had already said back earlier that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And now he's saying it's okay to heal on the Sabbath. Now, the Pharisees are very hard-hearted. They would rather see a man go on being paralyzed in his hand than for him to be healed on the wrong day of the week, according to their rules. I mentioned Sunday, I think, about a Charlie Daniels song called The New Pharisees. And I listened to it again this afternoon. It's just talking about how we all look at other people and point out, look at what he's doing wrong. But I like how Charlie Daniels ends the song. They're acting just like me. And Charlie Daniels' song, New Pharisees, is not just pointing at other people. It's that we're all guilty of pointing out things in other people. Now, Charlie Daniels, you can't get him to sing a concert anymore because he's singing concerts in heaven. Well, I guess you could. Yeah. He's part of the choir in heaven. You get to hear him then. Well, Jesus didn't let the Pharisees stop him from doing what is right. Have we ever been in a situation where somebody was watching to see if we'd do something? Like, are you going to say Merry Christmas as a teacher in a school? As a mayor in a city? As a clerk in a courtroom? You know, people don't want to mention Christ. Well, it is okay as a public official to say Merry Christmas. But some people are afraid that people might look at them as less than acceptable because they mention Christ. The reason for the season. Now, this is how the Pharisees were. But it didn't stop Jesus. He didn't go, you know, I really would like to heal you, but I don't want to offend the Pharisees. No, he said, stretch out your hand. And then he had two good hands. That miracle in front of their eyes. Can you imagine that? That hand, they knew the guy and it's been scribbled and all of a sudden, right in front of their eyes. Did they go, wow, this is amazing? No. They go, how are we going to kill this guy? And it tells us in the gospel of Mark that they went out and joined forces with the Herodians and plotted together how to kill Jesus. Now, the Herodians, they were the supporters of King Herod, who was not even a Jew. He was an Idumean. He was not the rightful king according to God's law for Israel, but Rome had appointed him as king. And so these were the people that were pro-Rome. Now the Pharisees, they were the exact opposite. They were against Rome's, and they were for God. The Herodians, we don't care what God says. We just want a political government that helps us. The modern equivalent would be, imagine a rally where you have the Ku Klux Klan and Black Lives Matter marching together for a purpose. That's how far apart they were, the Herodians and the Pharisees. But they came together because they both wanted to get rid of Jesus. The Herodians didn't like the threat to Herod's power by the Messiah. The Pharisees didn't like a threat to the Pharisees' power by recognizing that the Messiah was not them. And so they plotted together. And as it says in the what we read in the Gospel of Luke, the Pharisees were full of rage that Jesus dared to heal somebody on the Sabbath day. Well, Jesus doesn't follow our way of doing things. He follows the right way. And it doesn't matter if we approve of what Jesus does. God's going to do what's right, because it's right to do. We are living in a time where people would rather have Christians silenced than listen to the message they say when they're conveying what God has said. Just like in the time of Jesus, God was walking among us, and they would rather kill him than acknowledge that his miracles are showing that he is not an ordinary man. What are we going to do with the truth of God? Are we going to try to make God fit into our mold? Or are we going to try to fit into God's mold that he has for us? Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you that we could have access to the truth, showing how people are not always open to hearing the truth, but that it does not stop you from doing what's right. You will always do what's right. You will always speak the truth. Let us follow your word and your way every moment of our lives. In Jesus' name.